Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. My name is John Peters, and I'm here with Kyle McKelvey. This week, we're looking at the new top 50, where buy, selling, or holding teams for making regionals, and we're looking ahead and picking next week's best games. Let's talk college baseball. Kyle, welcome back to the podcast. We're on a timeline, so we got to pack in all this great college baseball content before we lose you, Kyle.
Thanks. Yeah, I went to my first college baseball game this weekend. I'll just say that. The game wasn't exactly what I wanted, but it was still fun to see a top five team in Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee got the job done in Aggieland and basically put the nail in the coffin probably for the Aggies postseason hopes, barring a SEC tournament run.
Yeah, that'll probably do it. But it helps to bolster Tennessee's hosting bid. We have them at number 10, I believe.
Yeah, we do have them a little bit down low. Don't quite have as many marquee series wins yet, but they'll get some more chances in the weeks to come. But speaking of top 50, let's dive into it. No changes, number one and two for third week in a row now, with Arkansas number one, Vanderbilt number two. Coming at number three are the Longhorns. Number four, Mississippi State slips a spot after losing that series to Vanderbilt. Notre Dame moves up to number five. Louisville finds itself at number six, despite not playing its weekend series. Oregon takes down UCLA at number seven. East Carolina at number eight. TCU number nine. Tennessee number 10. That's the top 10. You can find the rest of the top 50 at collegebaseball.info. What else stands out to you, Kyle, in the rest of the top 50?
We had some pretty big movement kind of from the top 10, 15 range going down. So Tech dropped eight spots from 6 to 14 after losing the series at home to Baylor, which is, I think, Tech's first home series loss since 2018 to Texas at home back then. Was it 2019 or 2018? I think it's 2018.
2018, you're right. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. And then Oklahoma State lost at home a series to Texas, which is expected, but we dropped them five spots from 14 to 19. And then Ole Miss, I think they're on their fourth series loss in a row. They salvaged the series against LSU with a come from behind victory, which is a nice victory. I got some of that game on Saturday, I think. But we dropped them from 12 to 21 after they've kind of been on a slide, and Ole Miss fans have kind of been on getting on to us lately about how we've dropped them too much. But I mean, if you keep losing series, then you're not going to be ranked that highly. That's pretty much the end of it.
I think Ole Miss fans finally see it our way now. You can't keep losing if you want to be ranked in the top 10. Other noteworthy things, Nebraska enters the top 25 at number 24. Gonzaga is in the top 25. Gonzaga has been on a real run lately. They won a series at TCU a few weeks back and haven't looked back since. I mean, they lost a couple of midweeks at Texas Tech and had a really tough start to the year in terms of schedule, but are totally cruising and are looking like one of the teams to be out west. We have Fairfield entering the top 50 at number 34. Undefeated season, kept it up over the weekend. And I mean, that's pretty ridiculous what they've been up to. And we'll talk about them a little bit later too. Baylor, Virginia also re-enter the top 50 at 49 and 50. That's the top 50 though. And I think it was amazing how much movement there was this weekend. I think that normally this time of year, you kind of start settling things down a little bit. But lots of shuffling in the top 50, so definitely go check out the rest of it. Let's now recap the pick'em from last week really carefully, because it's, you know, this, we might as well just rename this to like the John's going to win pick'em, because it's 5 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, but I won the first three, so it's not like you're too far ahead.
Yeah.
And we always, like, it's every week, it's like, you win three and I win two. It's never a blowout at 5-0 or 4-1.
It's a game of inches.
So, yeah.
Let's quickly go through some of these series. Texas at Oklahoma State. So Texas went to Stillwater, put their 14-game winning streak on the line. they were able to extend that winning streak to 16 games before dropping the third game in that series, but they won the series overall. Oklahoma State had a couple pitchers out, Robleski and Scott, both missed their starts. And, you know, I would say Oklahoma State still showed out pretty well for this series, saying they were missing a couple starters. But at the same time, I kind of keep like waiting for them to start clicking. Like I just feel like I'm just week after week kind of waiting for them to win a big series, and they haven't quite done it yet. They're down at 7-8 now in the Big 12, tied for fourth place with Baylor. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they can finish above that 500 mark come the end of the season.
And for me, it was kind of impressive to see Texas's first big series win since hosting and sweeping South Carolina, the first right before conference play for Texas. But like since then, they haven't really played the top teams in the Big 12. This was their opportunity to show that in a road series at Oklahoma State, who's our like fourth best team in the Big 12 as of now. And I think we didn't have them as a host last week, we did have them as a host when we put out our projections, but we might be rethinking that. Who knows? This was like Texas's first real competition. Since then they've had Abilene Christian, Kansas State, Oklahoma and Baylor, like those teams we kind of expected more out of, Oklahoma and Baylor, but they haven't really been as consistent on the year, I guess.
Yeah, so I think when we were releasing our latest Field of 64 now, what, about a week or week and a half or so ago, we had, like you're saying, Oklahoma State as a host. We were debating whether or not four hosts could come out of the Big 12, but we thought there'd be too many losses to hand around. Since then, Oklahoma State and Texas Tech have lost series. And, you know, I don't really feel too bad about that three host pick. It might even be two. Like, it's going to be hard for the Big 12 to get more than two hosts, I think, at this point. But TCU and Texas are taking care of business. TCU won their series. Texas won their series this weekend. So they both kept pace at 12-3. Both look like top 10 teams and really likely to be hosting come the end of the season. Let's move over to the West Coast. So we had Oregon State and UC Irvine in a really nice non-conference series. This is one of those series that, you know, neither team needed to do this, to throw a really tough non-conference series in the middle of conference play. And it was really cool they were able to get this together. I think this was a little bit of a coming out in the national stage for UC Irvine. They've established themselves as one of the front runners in the Big West, but reminding everyone that they're not just a little regional team that can beat up on other Big West teams, that they can take out a really solid Pac-12 team, winning the series 2 out of 3. Great weekend for the Anteaters.
Yeah, this is really important. They're at 16-4 in the Big West. This obviously wasn't a Big West series, but they're leading the Big West by a game over UC Santa Barbara, who was everyone's consensus Big West conference winner going into the year. But UC Irvine is showing up pretty strong. They won that third game in extras. I think it was the 12th inning. Yeah, 12th inning walk-off for the Anteaters. There's possibly two big West this year, like UC Irvine or UC Santa Barbara, barring any bid stealers in that tournament. I think they're doing a tournament. No tournament. Okay. But there still could be two bids in that conference. What do you think?
Yeah, I think two bids is fair. I think Irvine and Santa Barbara are looking pretty good. Santa Barbara did just go to Long Beach and split a 4-game series, which, you know,
it's not great.
It's tough to say it, but like,
yeah,
you kind of have to win every series if you're trying to get an at-large bid. And especially with these weird kind of 4-game series, it's weird to interpret that. What do you think of a 2-2 split on the road? I mean, it's not a bad weekend, right? But it's, the margins are pretty thin in order to get at-large bids, especially for Santa Barbara, who, you know, got swept at home in 4 games by Oregon. That was probably their best non-conference series, and they're not going to get a lot of chances to prove themselves. Also, they don't really have the RPI right now. They're at 69 in the RPI. They do have a series coming up against UCLA, which, despite having lost a decent number of games, is still a darling of the RPI. So Santa Barbara has some chances for sure.
Yeah, we'll see. UCLA is 30th, so that should help.
Yeah, and then two of those are on the road too. So two bids I think are reasonable for the Big West. No guarantee though by any means. Let's move to a conference that will definitely have two bids. So the SEC had some really big series. Mississippi State at Vanderbilt. I know, hot take right there, right? Yeah. SEC is at least a two bid league. Gonna go on record.
Two bid host league. How about that?
That's still a pretty cold take.
Yeah.
I think maybe four or five.
Yeah.
But Mississippi State and Vanderbilt are both teams that are not just in the contention for hosting, are, you know, almost locks, it feels like at this point. Both top five teams came into the weekend. Vanderbilt number two, Mississippi State number three. Vanderbilt won two out of three of these games. Mississippi State dropped just one spot, losing the series because they looked competitive in the series, were able to win a game. And not just win a game, they won a game off Jack Leiter. Kumar Rocker, though, goes complete game shutout on game one of this series. And Vanderbilt still has Sunday pitching woes. This time, starter didn't get out of the first inning, but the Vandy offense is still one of the best in the country. The Commodores were able to get a come-from-behind victory in this one to clinch a series and keep pace with Tennessee. Even though Vanderbilt went on the road to Tennessee and won that series, they're only a game up on the Volunteers. So that SEC East race is still pretty tight.
Yeah, wow. It's really tight. And then Florida's sitting there two games back, and South Carolina is also two games back. South Carolina has the tiebreaker if that comes to it. But the head-to-head sweep. Yeah, that's interesting. The SEC East or West race is a little bit Arkansas is kind of pulling ahead. They're two games ahead of Mississippi State after Arkansas won their series and Mississippi State lost theirs. But that kind of leads into our next series, if you don't mind me taking this.
Beautiful segue.
Arkansas went on the road to Columbia, South Carolina, and took two out of three from the Gamecocks. That was a pretty fun series. I didn't expect anyone, either team, to sweep that series. So I don't know. I thought it was pretty good for South Carolina to get a game out of that. They definitely needed to not get swept. All three games were, I mean, just looking at the score, they were all kind of pretty lopsided, but both teams kind of showed out and showed the competitiveness, I think.
The weirdest thing about the series, in my opinion, was that it was over by Friday. So they had a Thursday start, and then they did a Friday doubleheader because of weather. So the series was done before like half the series had, you know, barely gotten started.
Even with game one, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I mean, Arkansas fans will take a weekend off in the SEC, you know, after winning it all Thursday, Friday. Arkansas is coming into the series with a little bit of a shortened pitching staff just because they didn't have quite as much rest coming into this series. So they were able to figure out, though, the pitching situation because in all, they only gave up seven runs over the weekend to a South Carolina offense that has been struggling a little bit of late, but, you know, it'd be foolish to think that the South Carolina team can't put up runs in a hurry. They've had, you know, some big power numbers from guys like Wes Clark and Andrew Eyster. So Arkansas gets another series win, and Arkansas slips into number one in the RPI. They finally passed up Fairfield. So even though Fairfield's undefeated, it's really sad. Actually, I was looking at some RPI stats, and basically every game that Fairfield won over the weekend, they dropped in the RPI a little bit.
Oh,
because the teams they were playing weren't that high rated. So like,
that's too bad.
Like the magical RPI points, like each win they were losing like 50 points. A loss would have cost them like 200 points or something. So like, Fairfield obviously was better off winning, but they didn't get helped by their schedule this weekend.
Yeah, Manhattan is at 206 now. Probably we're just like a little bit higher. Manhattan was probably helped by losing to number one Fairfield.
I think you're right. Remaining on Fairfield's schedule, not a whole lot of RPI boosts. They have four home games against Siena, RPI 286, four games at Niagara, RPI 103, four games at Iona, RPI 221, 12 games left on that schedule, going for 37-0.
That's really impressive. I hope to see it. That'd be really cool. We'd have Gonzaga going undefeated in their basketball conference, basketball season until the final. And we could see maybe Fairfield makes it all the way to the national championship game going undefeated. That'd be really cool.
That would be like movie worthy. Like we would definitely see a Disney Plus movie of that in the next year. So last series, we had a last minute substitution once again due to COVID cancellation of the Louisville Pitt series. So we got Old Dominion at Charlotte on the pick'em. I got this one with Charlotte winning 3 out of 4. Home field advantage there was enough for the Niners. And it propelled Charlotte almost into our top 25. They're right there at 26. But really more importantly than our rankings, if you're a Charlotte fan, is RPI. And RPI now has Charlotte at number 11. So them, along with Southern Miss, Louisiana Tech, Old Dominion, are all right hovering around the top 25 and are also all in very legitimate consideration for hosting a regional. So Conference USA is definitely having a banner year and is on par with some of the other conferences like Pac-12, Big Ten, and Big 12, even in terms of getting hosts and getting teams in the tournament.
Louisiana Tech had a little bit of a disappointing weekend, though. They dropped, I think there were 9 going into the weekend. Now they're 25 in RPI, 27 in RPI, after splitting the series with Marshall, just because it was a split, not an outright series win.
Yeah, it's really hard maintaining RPI. I think with these 4 games weekends, like it's hard winning 3 out of 4 games. And now in the last 8 games, Louisiana Tech's played, they're 4-4. So they're going to have some opportunities coming up on their schedule. They still have a midweek at LSU. They still have a couple more against Old Dominion. So they'll have some chances, but it's maybe not closed, but maybe Louisiana Tech's window for hosting is it's getting a little bit tougher to jump through.
Yeah, but I still think it's probably going to be a 4-bid league with Charlotte, Old Dominion, Southern Miss, and Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, unless one of these teams collapses, they're all they all have some wiggle room for sure to lose some games and still be pretty comfortable at large bids, I would say.
Unless Charlotte just goes and sweeps Old Dominion this coming weekend, that'd be pretty bad for Old Dominion's chances going like 6-2 or 7-1 or 1-1, whatever. Opposite of that, against the conference leader, that'd be pretty bad for Old Dominion.
If memory serves me right, though, even losing 3 out of 4 on the road, I think Old Dominion slipped up a spot in the RPI. So, like,
wow.
The strength of schedule boost was helpful, but these games will be at home. These next 4 games Old Dominion has, so you can't lose home games. RPI hates that.
Yeah, that's for sure. That'll really help their chances this weekend.
So that's the pick'em from last week. I moved to 5-3 on the season. It's not quite out of reach for Kyle, but I mean, maybe college baseball pick'em is a game of runs, and you'll get on a run late to end the season.
And I'll have a walk-off to end the season. That'd be great.
Yeah, hopefully, maybe we'll be like tied going into postseason. We'll have to do some sort of tiebreaker or something.
Ooh.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be really fun.
All right, though, let's put a ribbon on that. Let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we're going to discuss our stock game. So we're going to do buy, sell, hold on different teams, different ideas when it comes to the postseason. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the College Baseball Nation podcast. Kyle and John still here. We have put together a little bit of a stock game for a few different ideas when it comes to the college baseball world. So everyone at this point in the season is caring about postseason selection, and teams are trending either in the right direction or the wrong direction right now. And they're running out of weeks to prove themselves to the committee to be regional hosts. That's going to be happening the week of May 10th. And then at large bids are just a couple of weeks after that. So Kyle, I want to start off with Texas Tech. Buy, sell, hold Texas Tech's chances for hosting a regional right now. Where are you at?
Right now, they're 20th in the RPI. They have 14 games left, looking at Boyd's World needs report. To continue that top 32, that's pretty much like a top 32 RPI, that's pretty much guaranteed. But top 16, they're going to need any combination, like five to eight home wins and, you know, some number of other road wins. Like they're going to need to win a lot of these series coming up next. They still have a chance to get a top eight RPI, which would definitely help. But I don't know if I can see it happening. I mean, just looking at their schedule, they have Texas coming up this week. They have, I think, they already played TCU. They have Texas coming up this week. They have Oklahoma and then Kansas. So they can definitely win those series. But they'll definitely need to sweep to can like be in consideration for a host, probably a bottom host. But I'll buy for now. Actually, can I hold until this? Yeah, I'll hold because they have Texas this weekend. So that'll help determine that.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable take. I'm going to go a little bit bolder. I think I'm selling on Texas host chances, and I'm kind of selling on their national championship chances, their Omaha chances. I'm just selling this team across the board. They've had a few too many injuries add up. I think that really Texas Tech's path to Omaha is through Lubbock. Like the home field advantage given to them in Lubbock is just so huge with the way the ball flies there, the way they get the crowds going. I think that without the home field advantage in Lubbock, and I don't think they're going to get it, I just don't have high confidence in this team.
Yeah, that's a good point. They definitely have their chances to do that if they win that series against Texas, but Texas is just playing too good right now, consistent enough on offense and dominant enough on pitching to continue to hold down and fight that Big 12 battle with TCU. It's kind of a two-team race right now for the regular season crown. Who knows what happens in the conference tournament, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's
next
you one up, Kyle. What do you got?
Yeah. Next, LSU postseason. Are you buying, selling, or holding? I don't think they can make it a host, but it's just like making the postseason.
I think I'm buying. Like, the red, like, glaring issues with their resume right now is their conference record, right? Like, it's really hard to get in with a losing conference record unless you're from the SEC. But even then, the worst conference record to ever get in the tournament is 13-17. Right now, LSU is at 6-12. So, worst case that they can do, what they have to do to get to that worst case scenario there is 7-5. Looking at their schedule, I don't think 7-5 is impossible. So they have 9 games to end the season against Auburn, Alabama, and A&M. They, I think, could probably get 7 wins in those series. So I think that I would have them winning that series. I think I would probably have all 3 of those because Auburn and A&M are on the road. Alabama's at home. I think all 3 of those, I would pick LSU to win 2 out of 3. And so that would get you to 6-3. And if they find a sweep in one of those, then they get to that 13-17 mark. Before that series, they have Arkansas at home. If they can steal a game off Arkansas, if they're just going to avoid getting swept, all they have to do for the last 3 series is win each of those series. And I think combined with the fact that their RPI is 24 and it's probably only going to go up regardless really what happens, as long as they, you know, don't lose some of these series. I think LSU has a pretty reasonable path forward to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's, so you're buying, I think is what you're saying.
I'm buying. Yeah, I'm buying. Yeah,
I am too. It doesn't help that the last series of the year is on the road. They also have Auburn on the road, but you'd rather have those on the road than you would Alabama and Arkansas, two tournament teams right there. Now, Auburn and A&M are definitely not tournament teams. So I guess that's the better way to go for that. So yeah, I would buy also. I could see them sweeping either Auburn or A&M, and that would pretty much do it to get to the 13-17. And if If they get to eight more wins, that would put them at 14-16, which is all but guarantee, especially with the RPI at 22 right now. I think it would go up from there. I think they also have La Tech in a midweek at home. So that's a good RPI boosting opportunity there. It'd be better if it was on the road, but yeah, no issues there.
Yeah, so they have, how many games left do they have in total? That's 18 16. Games.
Oh, I misread.
No, you're right. 16, I think. I don't know. I can't do the math in my head. But regardless, they only need 8 wins to stay in, not even, they need 5 wins to stay in the top 45 in RPI. So like top 45 in the RPI generally is enough to get an at-large bid. So the RPI, I don't think is going to be an issue. And if their RPI is an issue, that means they're going to have other issues. Like they, yeah. Like, I'm not super worried about their RPI. They just have to win games.
Yeah, I agree. So we're both buying LSU's postseason chances.
But boy, if they had swept Ole Miss, that would have been great, right? I mean, they had that game 9-1, and instead, you know, being at 7-11 instead of 6-12 in the conference, that feels a lot more doable.
Oh yeah, I mean, we just talked about they almost have it guaranteed if they can just win the last 3 series as of now. So an extra game in there would have really helped.
Yeah, this weekend's gonna be really big. I think if they get swept at Arkansas, regardless of the rest of their games, being at 6-15, it's just not going to feel good if you're an LSU fan. And, you know, like even if you can find a way to win 7 out of the last SEC games, that's going to be tough to come back. There's gonna be a lot of pressure on that team. It's a team that has a lot of freshmen on it too.
Yeah, a lot of pressure. And I mean, it's people on the outside are going to look at it and say, I mean, they've only won 2 SEC weekends on the year, at Kentucky and at Ole Miss, but they've just won enough games here and there. They've won some Friday nights, and they've just won like the one-off games that really helps.
And also part of our prediction is they have to win at Auburn, at A&M, and against Alabama. So I'd be
that's true. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times you see people going in or see teams going in to SEC tournament and needing a game or two. I think this is a team, if they can win those series 2 out of 3, those last 3, I don't think they'll need to win a game. It just in the SEC tournament, it would just help a lot.
Yeah. You feel a lot more comfortable for sure. And also though, you know, the expectation is not just making the tournament and sneaking in. So there's still going to be that pressure from LSU fans of winning some games.
They are mad this year. I can tell you that.
Yeah. So it'll be really interesting to see how all the media attention and pressure on LSU affects them towards the end of the season. Will they rise to the occasion or will they collapse? But let's move on to another team that has a lot of media attention at this point. We talked about it already. Fairfield has won a quarter century of games, 25-0. They are doing mysteriously well, maybe in the RPI. They did slip to number 2, like we mentioned, but normally, if you're 25-0 and number 2 in the RPI, you feel pretty good about your chances to host. I don't think that Fairfield probably has a legitimate chance at hosting because their RPI is definitely boosted by the fact that they didn't play any non-conference games. But one thing that's been talked about a lot is that normally the Metro Atlantic is basically one big league with only an auto bid that gets a 4 seed in a regional. So are you buying, holding, or selling Fairfield's chance of getting a 3 seed in a regional?
I'm buying that. I mean, I don't think, I mean, we've heard that the committee really values RPI, and I know this one is a little bit weird. RPI is not a great metric in general, but this year's a little bit weird since they haven't played any non-conference. We don't know how they are, but being 26-0 is hard to ignore, and being number 2 in the RPI is hard to ignore. They are currently 10 games up on the second place team in the MAC, so that is a really good opportunity I think they're solidly a 3 seed if the season ended today. Who knows if they can keep it up? If they can keep up, like win 8 more games, they have 2 weekends left. If they can win 8 more games, then yeah, they're solidly a 3 seed. I don't think they could sneak up to a 2 seed, but I wouldn't write it off.
I don't think it matters that much. I think the big thing is like getting off the four line so you don't have to play the regional hosts game one, and just getting into that 2-3 game would at least give them, you know, a fair shot of getting in the winner's bracket and kind of having a more legitimate chance in a regional.
That host would be really mad playing a team that has not lost a game on the year.
Yeah, that's true. That would be that. Yeah. It seems like, all right, I have two minds when it comes to this. One, like, the NCAA explicitly states RPI. We care about it. And in so many instances, the RPI has been a reason why like a 13-17 Florida has gotten into the NCAA tournament. And like, at the end of the day, I think probably most people think that like, it's somewhat legit. Like, yeah, like a below 500 team from the SEC is sometimes better and oftentimes better than a lot of 500 teams or just above 500 teams from other conferences. Like, it makes sense. But at the same time, if then the committee was to go and say, well, like, yeah, but Fairfield, your RPI doesn't count because like, it's, you know, like it's a weird season. So like that, like I would be so pissed if I was Fairfield and got a four seed at this point. I think there's some legitimate qualms that their RPI is not accurate because of the fact that they didn't play non-conference, but like, it would be I think it would be just like the biggest hypocrisy to ignore the RPI when convenient for the committee.
Yeah, that's true. I think the Big Ten is also like a kind of a good comparative conference for the MAC right now. I mean, I know not competitive wise, but like they're only playing conference games too. They've got a lot of like really bad teams RPI wise. I think the highest team in the Big Ten right now is Iowa at 40, but like Michigan is at 90, exactly 90. But everyone has them ranked and like probably going to be in. It's just like a RPI is just a weird metric in general.
Yeah, but that's a good point. So I think it's safe to say that most people think the Big Ten is better than the Metro Atlantic, and the Big Ten is only doing conference games just like the Metro Atlantic. And through weird scheduling oddities, and because the Big Ten is tougher, so each team ends up with more losses, or like the good teams end up with more losses, less lopsided. No Big Ten team is in the top like 40, like you're saying. So I think that kind of is actually evidence that the RPI is a little bit BS for Fairfield. Like, if Fairfield was in the Big Ten, do we think they would be winning the Big Ten right now? Probably not.
I don't think they'd be undefeated.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a little bit of it's hard to know. It's all hypothetical, right? Cause they don't have any non-conference games, but like maybe a fair RPI or a fair ranking for Fairfield is probably somewhere in like the 50s or something like that. But, you know what? They ended up in the top 40 for ours. They ended up in Baseball America's top 25 this week. So regardless, Fairfield is doing what they can do with the schedule they have in front of them. So, I mean, you got to give them credit there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, Kyle, you want to give us one more? Maybe we can wrap up this segment with transitioning the Big Ten.
Ah, yes. So Big Ten will have three teams in the tournament, buy, sell, or hold.
Yeah, I think I go different directions each week with this one. I like a lot of the same issues that we talked about for Fairfield are true for the Big Ten. I think that, I mean, maybe eye test wise, Indiana, Nebraska, Michigan look like they could at least compete in regionals. Mm-hmm. Iowa probably could join that list. Ohio State could maybe join that list just based off record. Maryland feels like it could be in that conversation as well. But it's just going to be really hard to compare to other teams from other conferences. I think like my gut has been that the Big Ten is going to get three teams. So I think I'm just going to stick with that gut and say I'm still buying on that idea, kind of regardless of what happens. But I'm ready to be surprised. I think, though, if I'm ready to be surprised, it's going to be in the upward direction. I could see the committee just being like, whatever, let's put five Big Ten teams in, like something that is going to be like, like that's if we're going to get shocked. My guess is that we're going to get shocked by how many get in, not by like the Big Ten becomes a one bid league.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, yeah, especially like looking forward in the next few weeks, Indiana plays pretty much all of the Big Ten competitors, like the top six teams in the Big Ten. They have Michigan and Nebraska, Iowa, Maryland. They have another three pod weekend against like with Ohio State and someone else that I can't find right now. So I think if one of those top three teams that we have in right now drops out, it's because they will have lost one of the teams that's right below them. So that'll take their spot. So I think at least three is safe. Yeah, and that was the buy was three or more teams, I guess. If you're selling, then you're saying fewer than three. So yeah, I agree. I think buy is fine.
Yeah. It'll be really interesting to see, though, because as those teams do rack up more losses, like, I wonder how that's going to change everyone's perception. But, you know, we'll find out pretty soon. I think it'll be really interesting even whenever regional hosts are selected, which is early this year, week of May 10th, if for whatever reason, like, the Big Ten gets a regional host, you know, like, we'll see the kind of the perception of the Big Ten earlier than we would have normally. Like, that would be the first evidence. So, like, let's say Nebraska keeps winning, they're in our top 25 and a lot of top 25s, you know, maybe they end up by then in the top 20 or 15 of some polls. If they win the next three weekends, they probably wouldn't be top 20 in the RPI just because how RPI has been handling them. But if they were to get a regional host, then that would suggest to me that the NCAA is thinking highly of the Big Ten.
That, or would the NCAA want teams, like, want there to be a host in the Midwest somewhere, and so they're just taking the top Big Ten team, or maybe just like the top other team in that area, and just going to give them a host spot because it's a lot of travel for the Midwest. Maybe they're trying to limit some of that travel.
I think it depends on who that best team the Big Ten is.
Yeah,
if it's like Nebraska, like, you can have a, like, Louisville and Vanderbilt are, like, close.
That's true.
Enough,
that's right? Not like out of the question. Yeah,
but if it's Michigan or something like that, that might, you know, fill in some gaps in the map a little bit differently.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's really unclear if the NCAA committee is going to even care about that. Like, it's,
who knows?
In theory, something that they don't, but in practice, something that they do.
Yeah.
So, like, for the same reason, you know, we might see, like, for the same reason in 2019, Oregon State got a regional host, even though, you know, they got smoked out of that, their own regional, and they weren't top 15 in the RPI, they were 20 something. But in my opinion, they were just looking for a place to give a regional host and on the West Coast, and Oregon State was the best option for it. We might see that potentially with a Stanford or a Gonzaga or something like that this year on the West Coast again. You know, I think written in the letter of the law, that's not something that the committee is supposed to care about.
Yeah.
All right, though, let's move on now to our week 11 pick'em. Wow, week 11, that's
flying by.
There are, as always in the middle of conference play, a bunch of good series. I think if memory serves me correct, last week you selected the series first. So that means I'm up first to bat. You know what, we've picked Arkansas a lot, but it's because they're interesting to think about. Let's do Arkansas LSU. Both these teams have some really high stakes with this, LSU more so.
I know we just talked about it, but where is that game?
It's in Baton Rouge. So,
ooh.
Alex Box Stadium will host the number one team in the country.
Then give me Arkansas 2 out of 3. I think I can't pick a sweep for sure.
Yeah, I like that. I think, though, so yeah, if I had to choose between Arkansas sweeping and now LSU winning 2 out of 3, I'm going to do LSU 2 out of 3. You know what? I'm going to buy in on the, like, Alex Box crazies get the job done. This one's just purely gut. I think LSU is trending in the right direction, and they're just going to, you know, prove to the world that they're still relevant.
Yeah, and this is also a factor of our weird rules. You can't pick the same thing that I do, so you have to pick something different. So you picked definitely not a sweep from either team. So I think that's fair. It's at home, so LSU is pretty crazy at home, especially trying with their backs against the wall, needing some series wins.
Yep.
All right, next. Give me Vandy at Florida. I'm going to give you Vandy at Florida.
All right, let's get these SEC series picked. I think Vanderbilt's proven that they can win on the road. They did it to South Carolina. No, they did it to Tennessee, not South Carolina. That one was in Nashville. And, you know, I think that Tennessee is probably a better team than Florida right now, the way they're playing. So I'm going to do Vandy wins 2 out of 3. I still have some question marks around Sunday pitching for Vanderbilt, and I'm not convinced that they can sweep, but I like Vanderbilt.
I also like Vanderbilt. The Vanderbilt scared me a little bit this weekend, losing a game that Jack Leiter pitched, which is weird. That doesn't happen usually. But then they, I don't know if they figured out their Sunday starter, but they at least only limited a hot Mississippi State offense to 4 runs, which is pretty solid. And they did it in comeback fashion. So, ooh, it's on the road. That changes things. I don't think I can pick Florida to win the series. I'm going to do Vandy to sweep.
Wow. All right. Bold pick.
Yeah. I got to do something. I got to change up something. I can't just keep picking the wrong winner. That way, because that way, if Florida wins the series, then neither of us gets the point. Playing a little defense here.
I think you're in your own head.
Yep. I mean, nothing's working with my 5-series losing streak. So who knows?
Yeah, just do the opposite of what your gut says.
Yeah, well, my gut said to do Florida, so this is the opposite.
Perfect. All right, so let's do next up. Let's do an American series. Tulane at Houston. Tulane is in first place in the American right now. So they put that on the line this weekend because they've only dropped 1 game while East Carolina's dropped 2. So who do you got in this 4-game series?
4-game series at Houston. Nope, it's in New Orleans. Give me Tulane 3 out of 4. It's at home for Tulane. I really like what they've been doing. I don't think they can sweep. That'd be really impressive. Houston is, I don't know, not as good as we had kind of expected going into the year, but I don't know. They split with South Florida. They got swept by Wichita State, and then they lost 3 out of 4 to Wichita State. Yeah, I'm pretty down on Houston this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree with your logic. I don't think, unfortunately, Houston hasn't quite been able to put things together. Tulane, though, just swept Wichita State in 3 games at home, just swept Memphis in 4 games on the road. So I'm going to go Tulane sweeps. They end the weekend 14-1 in the American.
Whew. That'd be really impressive. They vault up pretty highly in the rankings if that's even if, because I mean, like you've said before, the 4-game sweeps are really hard to do.
Yes, that is my favorite saying.
Yes. Fairfield's got almost 7 4-game sweeps. At 26-0. My next series will be Louisville at Clemson. I think it's at Clemson.
Yeah, I think that's right. And this is a big series for both Clemson on the bubble. Louisville is just being destroyed by the RPI. They lost their schedule. Unfortunately, they due to weather didn't play one of the games at Notre Dame. They lost 3 games this weekend against Pitt because of COVID. So this is a series that is going to be really helpful for Louisville in terms of hosting. And I'm going to say that they get the job done, win 2 out of 3, and that helps legitimize their claim to the host bid.
Yeah, and I'm saying Louisville sweeps. I'm pretty down on Clemson this year. They started off bringing a lot of people back. They started off really high in everyone's minds, bringing a lot of people back from last year, but they just have kind of fallen by the wayside. They're 18-18 overall, 12-12 in conference play. Losing this series at home to Notre Dame was shocking at first, but looking back, it's not anymore. Notre Dame is really solid, and they got swept at North Carolina. They beat NC State on the road, which is a little bit weird. Then they lost. It's got swept by Miami, lost 2 out of 3 to Virginia. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty down on Louisville. I mean, down on Clemson. So I'm going to go Louisville sweeps 3-0.
That might be the end of the at-large bid of hope for Clemson if they get swept at home. That would be hard to come back from.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what their remaining schedule is. They have Georgia Tech at Florida State and then Duke. Those aren't impossible series to win, So who knows?
Yeah, Clemson or the ACC is going to be really interesting to see what the committee does with. But Clemson might be a little bit playing for their lives this weekend. Maybe not quite. They're at 500 overall, 500 in ACC play, but they probably need to end up a little bit above 500 to make the tournament.
All right. Your choice.
Last up, let's do this is a really tough one. Let's do Oklahoma State OU. We've picked Texas a lot, and
yeah,
let's do some bedlam. Let's do Oklahoma State OU.
Is it in Norman, or is it like a 2-in-1 thing?
This is like a weird, they're doing a couple different locations. I'll look that up.
Okay. Well, while you're looking that up, OU has, Oklahoma State is kind of a confusing team, and they started off the year like really hot, and they've been one of our top Big 12 hosts coming in. They have just played solidly. They had a home series that was scheduled pretty late against Vanderbilt to start the year. They lost that series, but not getting swept is good. Not getting swept on the road at Tech was good right after that. And they've just kind of done what we've expected ever since. That TCU sweep was a little bit rough, but
First game is in Stillwater. The next two are in Norman.
Okay. I'm gonna say Oklahoma State 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I think that's the play here. I'm not a big believer in OU anymore. They have the talent, but they haven't been able to win. They lost a series to Kansas State. They just lost a series to Georgia Southern this past weekend. I think that if I had to go one direction or the other, I'm going to go more so on the side of Oklahoma State. So I'm going to say Oklahoma State gets the sweep.
Oops. All right. Yeah, I think that's what I would have gone if you had taken this one first.
We have 3 sweeps picked on our 4 sweeps. Wow. We each picked a couple sweeps in this pick'em, so we'll see if the boldness pays off.
Hopefully. I need a win desperately.
Yeah, looking at this, I'm not feeling great about my chances. Each of the individual picks felt okay, but picking Oklahoma State and Tulane to sweep, that seems like a lot to ask.
You could have gone for the split.
Yeah, that's no fun. It'll just be all the sweeter when I win.
That's a good point.
All right, Kyle, go off to your dentist appointment. We got to have your teeth nice and clean.
It's for my jaw.
Oh, that sounds unpleasant. Well, try not to have too much suffering.
Thank you.
Your dentist appointment. And maybe if you're not feeling great, spend the week watching some midweek games and take it easy over the weekend. And
I was going to do that anyway.
All right. Well, thanks for joining, Kyle, as always.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to the College Baseball Nation podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast app you use. Also, follow us on social media at CollegeBallNat. We're on Instagram and Twitter. Definitely reach out to us. We love talking with fans, answering questions from you guys. And who knows, you might end up on the podcast. Until then, watch a lot of college baseball and have a great week.